everybody, and welcome to another great edition of Talking Tigs. I am Scott Girard, and joining me, as always, is Tommy Johnson. We're still missing Daniel. Of course, he's still on the second of his unable to record list. This week, he's still out of the country, although I think he might be doing some low-key scouting for Brian Kelly. We'll have more on that when he gets back. I want to let him tell it. But since it is Tommy and I mean, it's mostly just baseball that we have for you folks this week, since everything else is pretty much closed out, but a whole lot of lanyap. So get ready for it. But before we do dive in, I want to check in with Tommy, see how things are going with you. I don't know, man. I don't really have anything much to bring up with you other than, you know, it's just another week in the books, you know, us and baseball, which was a good week, by the way, but we'll talk about that in a moment.
I'm good. Good to be with you. Good to be talking about, like you said, a pretty good week of baseball. And like, you know, like you said, everything's kind of winding down. Spring football's over. Obviously basketball's over. You know, we're really on the home stretch of baseball season, and you know, before you know it, it'll be summer. So, you know, excited about this, about LSU's performance on the diamond this past week, and excited to talk about it with you.
Same here. So let's just hop right on in, because Tigers did well. I mean, they won the early midweek game against McNeese, who has been pretty hot, by the way. I mean, you probably wouldn't pay attention to it because they're not in any big conference, but they could be in a regional near. It might be in our regional, as a matter of fact. I saw one projection where it looks like it would be McNeese would fall into our regional. So stranger things could happen, but we got the win against them 10-3. They did take the lead first, but Tigers powered back and came from behind. Same with that first game against Alabama. I think we were down, 5-1 at one point. They were just knocking homer after homer.
Yeah.
And then LSU, well, we started doing the same. Came back to win it. Well, we basically outscored them 10-1, basically, after they had gone up. So love to see that. Then we also took the second game, which was much closer. It was only 4-3, but again, winning the series is probably what's most important for here on out, especially with Tennessee coming to town this weekend. I mean, we dropped that third game on Sunday. You know, maybe we could have had it, but just to kind of bounce back after getting swept at Auburn, this was a good week. I mean, Alabama's no slouches themselves. They're what, 15th? They've had some good games this year. I know they're going to be in on a regional, probably not hosting one, but anyway, that's what we had. A lot of other SEC baseball to go through, but you know, let's take care of the Tigers first. I'm happy with the win. Would have loved to have seen a sweep, but maybe that's just me being greedy. What are your thoughts on, you know, how LSU kind of bounced back and, yeah, where we stand now?
I mean, I thought it was a overall can't be too mad series win in the SEC against, like you said, a top, you know, number 15 in the nation, so top 25 team,
right?
Or was, yeah, at the time. I think that this team is, and I don't know, I'm interested to see what you thought. I think we're just in a little bit of a cold streak right now. You know, I still don't think we had our best stuff, whether pitching or offense. I think it was just a little bit of a struggle, and I'm glad we were able to get the win. I mean, on Thursday night, things were not looking good to start off with. Same thing on Friday, and Sunday, obviously, we didn't get the win. So, I don't know if I'm concerned, but I think that this is probably we're at a low point with this team as far as like the way they're playing. I'm glad they're still getting wins. But there, I still have that bad taste in my mouth from the Auburn loss or Auburn losses. And I want to see them come out against Tennessee. And I mean, I think that this is, I think that's a, this is a critical series coming up. And I'm hoping that we can peak. Let's start to peak now. Like we've had our low point in the season. I mean, I think everyone would agree that Auburn sweep is the low point of the season so far. I don't know if it can get, you know, well, it could get lower than that, realistically, I think that's, you know, about as low as it's going to get. And so now let's hit our stride. Let's get hot going into the last, gosh, I mean, we only have, I think, three more SEC series in this season.
Yeah.
I think it's Tennessee. Well, it's four. So yeah, it's Tennessee. It's Arkansas. It's South Carolina on the road, and it's
Aggies, A&M on the road.
A&M on the road. So there's a lot to play for, but time is kind of running. I mean, we're getting against the clock a little bit, and it's time to get hot.
Yeah, absolutely. And I share your concern, or at least I did last week, especially after witnessing, you know, what the Tigers, I don't know, just they didn't really do anything in Auburn and, you know, couldn't really give a reason why. So, yeah, maybe it is that point where if this is our lowest point, we lost a road series in the SEC to a, you know, top 10 ranked team, although they turn around and lost three straight themselves. So it just kind of goes to show you it's really hard to judge that whole weekend because, I mean, well, I don't know. I guess it's tit for tat, though, right? It's like, how can you judge any weekend? Because, I mean, A&M, who was at their bottom until they got shut out, no hit, and run ruled on the road at Tennessee. But ever since then, they've been on a tear. They came back and won the next two games to take the series against Tennessee. They, I forget who else they played. Oh, Kentucky. I think they beat them, but they, you know, they won like eight in a row. They just took a series from Arkansas on the road. So it can be turned around. Your guys have to do it though. And I feel like, well, I mean, Jay kind of moved some things around. I think he even had, Jerry Jones at third, playing third base.
Yeah.
So, yeah, obviously, you know, they got to mix things up. I mean, he did mix things up with the lineup for this weekend series, which that's what I was saying is like, could we not have done that last Sunday? You know, like let's do it. You know, and then some other guys that we hadn't seen much, like Ashton Larson, he definitely came through, kind of helped spark that comeback in that first game because we were starting to look flat again. I don't know what it is. It's like these guys, they'll go through these cycles where they're on a tear and we can get 3, 4, 5 runs in an inning, maybe even 2, 3 times in a game. But then some games we're barely struggling to get a run. Luckily we haven't been shut out, but we've definitely come close. Like that, you know, Auburn last Sunday, if it wasn't for some late inning flash from Daniel Dickinson, we might have lost that game with a zero on the board, which is horrible. You don't want to think about that. So hopefully what you said is right. Maybe that was a low point and we're kind of going to bounce up and hit a good stride. We definitely have to close out these next four series. Home Tennessee, on the road A&M, home Arkansas, road South Carolina. So, I mean, I'd say, I don't know which one I'm more concerned about because I think we'll find out who we are. If we could win at least three of these series, even just 2-1, whatever it is, I think we're in a good spot to still solidify a top eight seed. Even if we split them, like if we went 2-2 and did well in the SEC tournament, I think that could still, because right now, depending on which poll you look at, we're as high as third, as low as 8. So, or sorry, 7. I think D1 baseball has us at 7. Anyway, that's why there's not much room for error. So, yes, we kind of do have to hit a stride, turn it around, get some consistency on offense. I think for, you know, pitching, yeah, I mean, it would be great to have – I mean, we know who our starters are. It'd be great to – I mean, I think we know who our closers are too. But I would say they've been pretty good because even in, you know, with those losses to Auburn – couple were really close. If we just had some bats, might have been a different story, you know? So that's what I want to see is just steady bats.
Yeah, and I think that it's, you know, that's been something. That's why I feel like this team is in a little bit of a cold streak, just because that's been something that hasn't been hasn't been trouble for these Jay Johnson teams. I mean, they've been known for their offense. I'm optimistic. I don't think this is the time to panic. I don't think this is the time just to throw in the towel and say, you know, oh man, this is not the team. But like you said, you know, with these last four series, I think you got to win. I think you got to win at least two of them. I think the ones at home are critical. And I think going to South Carolina on the road should be fine. I think going to A&M should be fine, but A&M has been a team that you've had trouble with them, historically, just over the past couple of years. So I'm cautiously optimistic, but I think that there needs to be a sense of urgency in this team, and I'm ready to see it. I'm ready to see them play tomorrow, and see how it goes with the midweek game.
Yes, and I mean it's another Louisiana team, right? It's not CLU. I think that's next week.
It's Northwestern, right? Yeah.
So yeah, there's that, which is always a good tune up for the weekend. I wish we were playing another Thursday one, but I think it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday this week against Tennessee. But I think they'll be ready. I know the crowd's going to be ready. I mean, we had I think they'd posted it. They had like 39,000 plus on the weekend for Alabama. I mean, that was 15th ranked Alabama. Just think of what, like I said, in one poll, we're six, I think Tennessee seven. So we're neck and neck. It's going to be a great matchup. I hope the Tigers, the bats come and they come early, because Tennessee had, I mean, I've been trying to keep track of them. They did lose the series against Kentucky. I mean, they won one game, but Kentucky, that was the first one. Kentucky won the other two. I think Tennessee's game one starters of, I forget his name, Dalton, but their game one starter, like pitcher, he's usually got them good for that first game, but it's been the second two game, at least the last two, because this is the second straight series they've dropped. Back-to-back weekends. So they are kind of in a low spot too. I think we need to bounce back more than they do, because they're going to be ready to bounce back unless, they're just finally, hitting the meat of the schedule. And some teams just kind of run out of gas. Some don't. Others find that mid-season stride and then they finish on through. I think that's what's happening to A&M now that they kind of got some mojo back. I think LSU needs to find something too. So Let's bring out the bats tomorrow, and hopefully that continues through the weekend, because the whole SEC was upended this week. I mean, everyone that was ranked above us lost. Tennessee, Arkansas, all went 1-2. Ole Miss went 1-2 at South Carolina also. They were, I believe, number 10 in some polls. And then you have Auburn, who swept us. They got swept by Texas.
Yeah.
And then UGA got swept by Vandy too. Vandy's already starting to make a late season push. So it's going to be how these next few weeks shake out to see what the postseason will look like. Cause a lot of other teams moved up. I think it's, I don't know, maybe it's better that some other teams host super regionals instead of SEC. Cause I don't know, who do you want? Do you want to face like five or six teams from the SEC, a conference you just went through in Omaha? Or would you rather mix it up with like a North Carolina or an Oregon State or FSU? I think I'd rather mix it up, So lots to prove in these last few weeks. Hopefully LSU is on point. So that's, I don't know. I think that's, we kind of covered a lot with the baseball. And there wasn't really any news. I mean, we know Gavin Guidry's sitting out for the rest of the season. Our team is pretty much what we have now. But again, it is good that, we have guys like Kaysen Evans and Zach Cowan to kind of come in and be that mid-game reliever if, let's say, we do have a lead, it's, you know, five innings, Ianson's done his job. He's only allowed one, two, or maybe zero runs, but, you know, they're starting to hit. Bring in one of those guys, preserve the win. It's obvious Jay's going to be doing that, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, I think you're right. And the one thing I would add, I feel like the further we get away from that Texas series, the better we look. Cause Texas looks real good.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think when we just came off that loss, I mean, I felt like we left some in Austin. We left some runs on the board. We left something on the table where we could have, you know, could have had that series won. And you know, when they haul off and sweep Auburn, obviously, like, we let that Auburn series go. We probably shouldn't have, but Texas looks like the real deal, and I think that helps us.
Yeah, and let them have the number one. We sure don't want it. You know, if any postseason lore means anything to anybody, it's like a number one seed. It's not the best thing you want. It's not a good omen. Kind of like, in the Final Four used to be, well, I mean, one seed's, it's great to get that, but most of them didn't make it. It's only rare that like all ones actually make the Final Four. But I mean, that's just, I don't know if it's math or more just, you know, chance of what the teams are. Anyway, but point being is, I don't know if that you want that number one seed for baseball, because I don't know, we've just seen it time and time again. I know we weren't one when we won back in 2023. So looking forward, I'd say, if the Tigers can at least win two of these last four series, maybe three, I'd say if we get three, we could probably, not that we can rest on our laurels in the SEC tournament, but I think we could probably expect to be a top eight seed. And I keep mentioning it because just imagine, I mean, the last few years we've had to go, like, we had to play at Carolina.
Yeah.
Didn't fare well there. I think we had to play out in Oregon State once. I mean, LSU still travels well, but just think of how better it would be just to have all those games at the box. We don't have to have everybody traveling. We can hold more seats. We played where?
Florida State.
Oh, right.
And then Texas too, I think. Fairly recently.
Okay, possibly. That I don't remember. But I mean, our stadium. Yeah. Yes, I remember. But I mean, we can hold a lot more at the box, so it just makes more sense to do it that way anyway. But other than that, I don't know if there's anything else to say on baseball, because it doesn't really matter unless we can, you know, win at least two out of three against Tennessee. So we'll just leave it at that and see what's happening. Now, even though all other sports, at least college-wise, are done, I mean, the gymnastics is done, I think track and field might be done, baseball's still going. And like you said, football is officially over. Spring practice is done. Now, there is a spring portal, but we haven't really had any news from that yet, in or out. Other teams might have. I mean, I know Nico's going to UCLA. I guess he's taking his talents to UCLA. I don't know. I think he got way less than he would have got at Tennessee, too, or at least what he was asking. But
now he definitely didn't get what he was asking for.
Yeah, exactly. That's one thing. But I don't know. It'll be interesting to see if there is any portal movement. There was a guy out of Notre Dame. I forget his first name, but it was his last name was Urlacher. He's a safety. I know that was a position of need for us. I don't know if there's a connection there with BK. I think he might have been there after Brian left. So there's no, like, he didn't recruit him or anything. But, you know, it's Brian Urlacher's son. Watched a few clips. The guy can hit. I don't know. Could be worth it for us, unless he's just looking to start right away, because I don't know if we can promise that. Or if he's looking for $4 million, I don't think we can promise that either. But I didn't think you'd seen any portal movement already, have you?
Everything that I'm seeing is that, you know, we're kind of sitting and waiting right now. Nothing dropping as of, you know, this is Monday, the 21st of April.
But
in the wild world of the transfer portal, that could all change tomorrow.
Right. And speaking of things changing tomorrow, the College Football Playoff Committee meets in Texas, in Dallas, I believe, but or maybe it's Houston, I forget. But they are meeting for their annual spring meeting to see what other changes they can impose. I don't know what they're going to talk about. One of the things they did mention was, maybe the format of the playoff or who gets in, who doesn't. Did you see they're starting to... Well, they're talking about automatic bids for certain conferences. And one of the breakdowns I saw was SEC could have 4. Big 10 could have 4. Big 12 could have 2. ACC could have 2, and so on and so forth. And that they were saying, well, we could, you know, base the seeding off of, you know, actual performance. And there was one metric. It's that they're going to take into account TV ratings. Did you see that?
I did see that.
What do you think of that? Because that kind of falls into the SEC's court right there. But I don't know. Like, why? That just takes it out of the game completely for me. I understand why they would do it, because they want the playoff to make money. But that's not a football decision. That's a business decision. I think it's completely separate. Right?
I mean, doesn't that just kind of show, like, we've talked about this for years now, really, but that's a mask off moment. Taking the mask fully off, showing you exactly what everything is about.
Money.
We've talked about the TV breaks. Remember we talked about how you go to the game and they come out and they stand, you know, in the middle of the thing with the clock, and they'll right. they're we're gonna we need to speed the game up, that people are complaining these games are lasting too long, we need to speed the game up. But instead of taking out, you know, okay, maybe we need less commercial breaks, instead of that, we're going to change the rules, we're going to have a running clock, we're going to have the clock, or we're going to, you know, change the way that out of bounds works, all that kind of stuff. We're going to do that because to try and speed the actual gameplay up, but we're still going to take the commercial breaks. It's always been about the money. It continues to be. The playoff committee is a money-making machine. And I mean, they just totally showed that. I mean, that's their point. So I guess good on them.
Yeah, you're right. Total mask off. Like, it's, one of the other phrases I see a lot now, it's they're saying the quiet part out loud.
Yeah.
Right. Which is, it's true. I mean, they're not hiding it anymore. It's weird. I haven't really seen a reaction yet about that. I guess a lot of people don't follow certain news as closely as we might, as dedicated reporters and stewards of LSU sports news. But that wasn't the only thing. And I also saw something where they would change, you know, like the injury timeout thing about how players were just falling down. Uh-huh. So now it's funny. They had a picture of like on this brief article I saw. Can you guess who they had a pic? Yep. They had a picture of Lane Kiffin. So they are talking of, you know, if that happens, if a manager comes out, then I don't know. They're going to charge a timeout or something like that. So at least they're starting to look at that. Again, I don't think that's necessarily to speed the game up, although it might be. That might be why. They're just using it under the guise of, oh, well, it's not fair. You know, the integrity of the game, blah, 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 blah. We got commercial. I mean, we got, you know, we got to think about the fans. But yeah.
I agree with that. I think that's smart.
It is. I just, I don't know. I guess I'm
what's a little jaded.
Thank you. Jaded enough to think it's not for this play of game. It's just to speed the game up to get to commercials quicker.
Yeah.
Although,
no, now, if now, it just play devil's advocate, though, they could, like, with every injury timeout, they get to run a commercial break. So
that's what I was about to say. She's, yeah, so maybe that is the thing. But sometimes when they're like, well, I don't know, it's like, do you have to pay for that extra break? Because what if they're just trying to fill airtime and it's, well, there wasn't a commercial break scheduled. So do we get a freebie or, you know, how does that work?
I've always kind of wondered that too. I've wondered that about overtime. Like if you're a company and you buy advertising on a game, you know, you only buy for, you know, you're like, I'm going to buy for the whatever LSU Ole Miss game. If it goes to overtime, do they keep running your ads? Do you pay for that? Or if you just bought for that game? I don't know.
It's been a while since I took a media class. I did take one in college, so I knew kind of how it worked. I don't know. Or like, it's like, what's going to start after the game? Like, you know, the local news, maybe whoever paid for those ads, maybe they run those instead. I don't know. Well, I don't know. Cause it's a national broadcast. So yeah, I think they give them they just get lucky. It's like winning the lottery. Well, unless there's a contingency, right? Maybe they have some contingency plan in place because, you know, you'd have to expect for overtime sometimes.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's something else to keep an eye on. Now, a couple other things. It's funny how it's all football related too, even though we said football's over and done with. But a couple other things to go on real quick. I had a... I think I got a headache when I was rolling my eyes so much this week because Colorado is retiring Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter's numbers. Maybe Hunter, I can understand.
I mean, he won the Heisman. I get it.
He won the Heisman, but the story is like the last, like Colorado's had a Heisman winner before, Rashaan Salaam. It took 26 years or something before they finally gave it to him. And that was after he died. So you're just going to give it to Travis Hunter for 2 years. I mean, I get it. Hunter, oh, he won the Heisman. Okay. What about Shedeur? What did he do?
I saw the stat where it was like he went 13-12 in his time in Colorado.
Didn't win a conference. Didn't win, well, anything, really.
Did they even win a bowl game?
I don't think so. Normally we would have Daniel here, but. He's in absentia.
But Daniel point being quit is, on us.
I know. I would they say lost. most of
they
America
lost bad to BYU. Oh, I remember this.
Oh yeah,
they got blown out. Yeah.
So yeah, it's just ridiculous. It's I'm not going to say Deion had something to do with it. Maybe the brass there decided to do that for them or him. You know, just maybe see if he'll stay around longer because. I don't know. I mean, they hadn't really done any, you know, like you said, the team, they haven't done much as a team. There's been a lot of flash, a lot of highlights and stuff, but what, I don't know. Are they back? I don't know about that. One other thing, Lee Corso said to be retiring. I think his last weekend will be that first weekend.
Yeah.
So it could be his last head pick might be LSU Clemson. So that could be a good one to go out on.
Could be. That's I didn't even think about that.
His his mascot where he puts the head on. I mean, I think it's great that they're doing that now. Probably could have done it last year, but it's good. They give him one last go at it and he can ride off into the sunset. A legend, basically.
Oh yeah. No, an absolute legend. I mean, when I think of college football, like he is one of the people who definitely like has been in so much of my college football memories. I love the headgear. I love everything about it, really. And it's sad to see him go. I think you can kind of tell, like if you're watching game day, like, you know, every for the past, I think you can kind of tell for the past maybe 2 years that he's been kind of pretty much ever since COVID. Yeah. When they like sent him home, it's been kind of tough. But I mean, I'm glad he's going to get like one last one and get to, like you said, do the headgear. I'm looking at week one right now. What jumps to mind other than, like, I think LSU, especially with Gert Nussmeier being a Heisman favorite right now, you know, LSU, Clemson is definitely one to look at. I just hope they also have Texas at Ohio State. He loves the Buckeye, putting the Buckeye on.
That's a good one.
So that could be one to watch. But especially and then Arch Manning too. Arch Manning versus the defending national champions. So either way, it's going to be. I think it'll be something to watch and something to enjoy. But like you said, a legend going out.
Absolutely. And one last thing I wanted to mention, something that looks like it could be heading on its way out, and that would be day games in Tiger Stadium in September. I don't know what genius thought of this or why it took them so long to draft something like this, but this is the politics you want to see in America. Both sides can get behind it. All right. This is for the people, for everybody, for a very good reason. I mean, I could just what I experienced for the spring game Saturday morning a couple weekends ago. My goodness, I couldn't imagine doing that at like noon on a Saturday in September. I would be livid also. So I don't know why it took them so long, but I don't know how much you can tell me, Tommy. I know you probably got your ear pretty close to the ground, to the tracks of where this one's coming out, but I'm glad it finally happened.
I'm glad too. I mean, this is something we've talked about on this podcast for, over 5 years now. I'll never forget some of these terrible day games I've been to at the beginning of the season. The one that comes to mind most vividly in my memory is the Utah State game in 2019. Probably one of the hottest experiences of my life. It was miserable. I feel like I'm a pretty committed LSU fan, and I didn't make it past, I want to say, the second quarter. It was just absolutely sweltering.
Right.
I don't know how much I don't know if you can necessarily outlaw. I mean, I guess you can. I don't know how the legal how it would work, but I support it. I will be checking on. I'll be keeping my ear to the ground, monitoring it. The man who did it is a guy, a representative named Big John. He's from the New Orleans area. Big John Ilg.
Of course, he's got a nickname. Yeah.
Yep. He actually goes by Big. So a lot of times, like in the house, they'll say, Representative Big, where are you at? So that's kind of cool.
Right.
We'll see if the SEC kind of plays ball. I would imagine it would probably pass. We'll see if the SEC kind of recognizes it, but who knows, the full force of Louisiana state government could be on our side.
Right. And I can't imagine the no votes. Like we're going to primary this guy. This guy's voting for sweltering heat day games.
Yeah.
Yeah. Show up to that town hall meeting.
He gets to say there is a health concern, which is true. You can't deny that. I think it's an interesting piece of legislation. I'll be putting it in my tracker that I look at throughout the legislature, and I can give updates throughout this podcast on this bill. So let's revisit it. We'll revisit it week to week, and I'll let you know what happens.
Okay. I will be curious to see if it does get passed. Like you said earlier, it's like, how in the world are you going to enforce this? Because the conference kind of makes up the games and the times, or maybe the TV networks like, oh, yeah, we'll air it, but we're only going to do it at noon. Like, I just want to see a smash cut, which is be like Reno 911. Have you ever seen that? Like, where they have Greg Sankey in handcuffs outside the SEC office. You know, it's like, sorry, this is illegal. You can't do this. Like, what? Yeah, sorry. You know, you have the right to remain silent and yada, yada, yada. I don't know how they're going to enforce it. Otherwise, they just, because if that happens, then what's going to happen after that? Then everyone's going to, well, we don't want 11 a.m. games either. We're going to pass the law. At least all the central, you know, the central team, central time zone teams. So we could do that and maybe it'll work, but then everybody will probably do it, right?
Yeah. Oh, it's like the old thing, you know, if your friend jumped off a bridge, would you do it? I don't know.
If the bridge was on fire, possibly.
When the bridge is on fire.
Yeah. I mean, if it's, it depends how far the drop is too. I mean, I feel like I could scale down one of the posts, but maybe not. You kind of do what you got to do. I guess you wait for that first person to jump to break the water tension, and then you just hope for the best. I don't know how we ended up on this, but anyway, point being is we'll see if it passes. I imagine it would, but we'll see if it has any teeth after that. Other than that, I mean, I think that's all the lagniappe that I brought to the supper. What else you got?
Man, the only thing I got, NFL draft this week.
Oh, right.
Got one of the top, obviously some of the top recruits. I mean, not really recruits, I guess prospects in the draft. Will Campbell heading it off. Braden Swenson, who had a really, really good year. And, you know, upped his draft stock a lot after last year's season, looking like the number two prospect. And you got Mason Taylor, another one. So I'll be watching. It's always fun to see where we go. And you know, we love to see NFLSU thriving, I guess. But, you know, I'm most interested to see Will Campbell and see where he goes, just because there were some concerns at the combine about his measurables and, you know, whether or not, I mean, he ran super fast for a tackle, but the arm length was a concern, like we talked about on this podcast. It looks like he's projected to be the number four overall pick to the New England Patriots, but we've seen stuff like that happen.
That seems, that seems very
generous,
hopeful. Yeah
so we'll see, but you know, it should be good. This will probably be, would you say this would be Brian Kelly's possibly his most successful NFL draft of his tenure?
Ooh, I don't know.
If it goes according to, like, the, you know, the projection, so we, right. You know, we have.
Well, but I'm thinking back to last year. It's like those three freshmen, what, Jaden Daniels.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas. I mean, those guys were all first rounders, and they delivered, right? Like, they came out white hot. So that would be hard to top. I don't know. Like, even if Will Campbell goes and has a great career, it's like, you know, he's – you know, people don't follow linemen. They're not going to, oh, he's in the MVP conversation, you know? So I don't know about that. But yeah,
the only thing I would point back to is, like, wasn't Nabers a Kelly, I mean, not a Kelly, wasn't Nabers an Orgeron recruit originally?
Yeah, he was, but
so,
yeah. He had most of his career.
No, he absolutely had his career with Kelly, but just kind of, I don't know. I feel like this is the first year that's, it's 100% everybody's been recruited by and played for Kelly.
Got you. So yes, then that will be interesting. I don't know. Do you think, who do you think would be a, I haven't even watched any sort of draft previews? I haven't looked at it yet, obviously, because I almost forgot to mention it. But I don't know. Who do you think would be number one?
I haven't studied the draft either. Oh, sorry. I mean, they're saying Travis Hunter, but interesting. I'm not completely sold on him at the NFL level.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, he's a first round pick, sure, but is what? Like, he's not going to play both ways in the pros. Is he better a corner or is he better a receiver?
I don't know. This is Tommy looking at it. I feel like he plays receiver in the NFL. But you know, he's saying he'd rather forget what he said. He said something like, I'd rather not play than play both. Or no, I'd rather play. I'd rather not play than only play one position. He wants to go both ways in the NFL. We'll see if that actually happens.
Right.
But, I'm a little bit, skeptical.
Right. Well, I'd love to hear your skepticism about what you think the Saints might do, just to bring it back to our Saints underground days. But I don't know. I feel like, well, it depends if there's any off-season movement, like if David Carr really is going to stay or if they're going to try and offload, I mean, try and find a trade for him beforehand. You know, would they draft somebody? Like, they could go for a Jackson Dart or somebody like that. Or do the Saints do something completely different?
That's the name that's being floated a lot. Is Jackson Dart going to the Saints?
Interesting.
I'm not sure if I'm not sure about that one either. But Kellen Moore clearly wants his guy. You know, he's going to want and I don't think it's Derek Carr.
I don't think the town wants Derek Carr.
I don't know if Derek Carr wants Derek Carr. He basically said he doesn't even want to play this year.
Wow. He's just like, I need a break for myself. Maybe he needs to do what Rodgers did. Like go on some tour go to Peru to see the pyramids, take some ayahuasca and just find himself.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe
although it didn't really work out for Aaron Rodgers right now.
You're right. I don't know what he's going to do, but I mean, he's kind of at the twilight of his career anyway. I mean, it'd be different if this was like a year after he won the Super Bowl, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and then it came out, he was this free spirit or whatever, but, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think the Saints have a decent backup with Spencer Rattler, whoever they decide to go with. I don't know that he's the guy moving forward. I feel like he's a fan favorite. They want to give him a shot, but I just don't know, man. I think New Orleans needs like just a pure pocket passer back there to kind of like Drew Brees was. I mean, we're not going to replace Drew Brees, obviously, but well, I don't know. I guess, like you said, it depends who Kellen Moore wants, because we have a whole new, there's a new sheriff in town, so to speak. So we'll see what his offense is going to do. But I mean, who was he with the most recently? Dallas?
And then the Eagles.
The Eagles, right. So quarterbacks that I think mostly throw but can run.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of what Hugh did.
Hurts and Dak, yeah. And Jackson Dart fits that description. I don't know. I just don't think that either. I mean, well, coming out of college, I mean, there might be a comp to Jalen Hurts of Jackson Dart. I mean, coming out of college, Jalen Hurts is a guy who started a lot of football games. You know, played meaningful games in the SEC. And then for Oklahoma, and played in a college football playoff, and was a dual threat guy, but you know, had some questions about his arm. Dart is similar in that way. Hurts was the guy who played for a prolific offensive system. It could be called a system quarterback with Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma. So. Maybe I'm talking my way into Jackson Dart. To me, it just doesn't feel like he's the guy. And I think the Saints should be tanking or should have been tanking years ago. There's just, you know, there's so much, and I'm not a Saints expert. We don't cover the Saints weekly on this podcast, so I'm not, you know, checking on their roster and their cap and everything, but from a, you know, from the 100 mile away perspective of Baton Rouge, looking at the Saints, it just feels like they're holding on the remnants of the Breeze era, and it's just costing them time and money.
Yes. And it's been a few years now, and it's cost them a lot of money. But we shall see. It's just weird, because it's like that whole the Saints era to me. I mean, I grew up with a few different coaches, a few different cycles of, like, you know, Saints years that stood out, like the late 80s, early 90s with the defense and how they were, and the Bobby Hebert, and, you know, they were a dangerous team, but they weren't ever really going to win at all. Then there was the Jim Haslett, because I was like Jim Moore and the Jim Haslett years. Jim Haslett's when they finally got their first playoff win. And then after that, it was kind of Aaron Brooks, and you're like, oh, okay, well, maybe we could do something. But then, you know, kind of just didn't go anywhere until Sean Payton came in. They got Drew Brees. And then that was like the defining era. What was it like? I don't know, like 10 years.
2006 to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, 2006 to really like 2018.
Yeah. So a dozen years. And then, you know, just kind of, it's like after, it's weird because they won that title early and they competed for a while after that. But then it was just, I don't know, they just didn't have that same mojo, that same juice again. They just, you know, it was weird. Anyway, and now Peyton's doing fine in Denver. I mean, he's kind of made a second name for himself. I think the Saints, hopefully they can find somebody with Kellen Moore and make a name for themselves again, a new era. We'll see. We'll give it a shot. But I didn't really have anything else beyond that.
Yeah, that's about it for me. I mean, I'll be you know, check out the baseball action and check out the NFL draft, and we'll be back with you next week to break it all down.
Yep. Maybe Daniel's found some Aussie gems that he can tell us about that might be headlining LSU special teams next year. We'll see. But in any case, we will have that all for you next week. So definitely tune back in. We'll be back at full strength. So until then, hope everyone had a good Easter. Stay safe, stay tuned, and we will talk to you next time, but not in the blazing sun in the morning, right here on Talking Tigs.